Welcome to Current Sports. I'm your host, as always, Al Martin. I want to remind you all, you can weigh in, let your voice be heard each and every weekday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on WKAR AM 870. Follow me on Twitter at Al Martin WKAR. Like Current Sports on Facebook at facebook.com/currentsports, or even email me at almartin@wkar.org. Don't be shy. Hit us up. We want to hear always what's on your mind. And of course, you can give us a call right here at the studio, 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. And how have you been enjoying the show so far? I encourage all of the dedicated listeners out there to Current Sports to let us know what you like, don't like, post some conversations you would like to hear discussed right here on the show. Again, tweet me, email me, Facebook me, anything. Give us a call here at the studio. We want to know how you are enjoying yourself on this show. All right. Well, high school football is right around the corner, ladies and gents. Tomorrow night, high schools from all over the Michigan area will hit the gridiron for their first games of the season. Can you believe this time is amongst us? It's certainly one of the most exciting times of the year. Now, these past few shows have been great, as the Current Sports team and I have been bringing you our football blowout special, talking with high school football coaches from the mid-Michigan area, and how are they preparing to start this season? Well, we've had Holt High School coach Al Slammer, who actually talked to us on the bus from a scrimmage. He was great, and we also invited Ithaca High School football coach Terry Hesbrook to join me on the show. Ithaca will be embarking on a journey to capture a fourth straight state championship title. That's just redonkulous, people. Now, oh my goodness, I still can't believe it. Four straight? Oh my goodness. They are currently also on the longest winning streak in Michigan and one of the longest in the nation with 42 wins in a row. That's certainly special. So, today, we continue our high school football coaching trend by inviting a coach of a team that was so close to earning a third straight CAAC Blue title last season. He's been coaching the squad dating back to 2006. It's my pleasure to welcome Grand Ledge football coach Matt Bird to Current Sports. How you doing, Matt?
Good, Al. Thanks for having me.
No problem. So, Matt, let's dive right into it. Let's talk about last season really quick. Now, as mentioned, you guys could have, if you guys would have kept Everett from converting on a two-point conversion, you guys would have won a third straight CAAC Blue title and fourth in 5 years, Matt. I mean, how would you assess last year's team in that moment?
Oh, it was, it's one of those heartbreaking moments because the kids laid it on the line. Everett was athletically a much better team than what we were, and the thing is our kids played great together as a group and laid it all out there. We did what we did in overtime to try to put us in a situation to win that. It just came down to one play, and you know, Marcel has just done a phenomenal job at Everett, and to get those kids to play as well as they did and come together as well as a group, you know, that was. If I'm going to lose to anybody, I've known Marcel for a long, long time. He's like a brother to me, so I can tip my hat to him.
Well, it was certainly a moment, one of my, one of the most memorable moments of last year's Mid-Michigan football season. And I got to tell you, Matt, after a loss like that, so close, like I said, a two-point conversion, just converting on that two-point conversion, I mean, really a heartbreaker for you guys. As a coach, what do you tell your kids? What did you tell them after that game?
Well, I told them how proud I was of them. And, you know, the tough part is the seniors only get one shot. And that lasts for them for a lifetime. And so, you know, I'm always inclined to take a look at myself, see what we did as a staff. Did we put our kids in the right position to win? Tell our kids that we were going to go in on Sunday and focus up on the next week, and the kids just did that next week. They did themselves tremendously, made me very, very proud of them by coming back against East Lansing and winning a big one against them and just kind of getting ourselves right back on track.
That's great. Got to get right back to it, right?
Amen.
There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, we are talking with Grand Ledge football coach Matt Bird. Coach Bird, you have one incredible playoff streak going on right now with a chance this season to go into the postseason for the sixth straight time. Now, if you do, it will be the second longest streak to former coach Pat O'Keefe's run of seven straight back in 94 to 2000. Now, have you thought about that at all? What's been a recipe to success for you, Matt?
I didn't even realize that. So that's you saying it. It's amazing to think of that. It just, you know, we are blessed with a community out here that has got a great youth program. We get a lot of volunteer hours from a lot of people. It's definitely community driven. We serve the community. We represent the community to the best of our ability. So within that, there's a lot of pieces and parts to it. But the kids, they just do a tremendous job. They come in with expectations. They do things right, not only in the weight room, but in the classroom, throughout the off season. They volunteer around town, and it just becomes I look at it and I tell them all the time, I marvel at their dedication because I don't know if I could do it as a high school kid with with all the distractions that they have. And the kids just really dedicate themselves and just do a tremendous job. So, you know, to look at it as a streak, yes, we've been fortunate. We've been healthy. There's a lot of things that odd-shaped ball can go in many different directions. So within that, we put ourselves in a position to be successful, but really those kids are the ones that put themselves in the end where we need to be to be able to get to the playoffs.
That's so true, Coach. You talk about keeping them focused. I mean, like you said, there are a lot of distractions, especially in today's age with social media. I mean, with all of that going on, for you as a coach to keep them focused, I mean, how do you do that?
Well, you have to use social media and respect it from the sense that it is a communication device. You know, there's a lot more. In just 5 years, the communication aspect has changed so much. We're texting more than we're talking.
Right.
And so a lot of times these kids will struggle with some face-to-face stuff. So if you see a kid walking and you talk to him, he's feeling, and you can tell he's down, they're less apt to talk to you sometimes than if you were to send that text message, and they'll open up a little bit. It kind of lets the guard down, and then they're able to communicate better with you the next day. And so, you know, to really use it from that standpoint.
Yeah.
Then I actually have people that watch the social media in terms of Facebook pages, to Twitter pages, to things like that, that help support our program. And we have a social media policy. We ask our kids not to use Twitter, only in a positive sense. You know,
right.
Like for instance, if it, you know, with God forbid we were to run up another to another overtime loss, the only thing that we posted on there would be something congratulatory to our opponents, nothing that would be, you know, coach did this or that or whatever. So we definitely have to address it not only in our parent meetings, but also have something that we do with the kids on a consistent basis.
So, Matt, you and your team, they actually monitor what your kids post then, right?
Yes. Yes, we do. And it's not from the standpoint of you're trying to keep your thumb on them or anything like that. You're treating it, you know, each year I gain 120 to 130 new sons. You know, my family goes year after year after year. And so it'd be no different than what I do with my own child. You know, if my son Nolan was posting things that were inappropriate, I'd have that discussion with him too. And it's all about respect and understanding. Once again, you only have one time to make that first impression, and that's going to impress on a lot of people now that you are not even going to run in contact with. They may not be able to visualize you as a man, but they're only going to visualize you as a picture or something that you put out there. So we do have to watch that stuff and guide those young men in the right direction.
Now, Matt, of course, you're not going to say a name on this. I don't want you to. But have you ever been in a situation where one of your players did post something, you know, crazy out there and you had to reprimand them?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we've had that, and that has really gone through to where we have to sit down with the parents, we have to sit down with the kids, and there are disciplinary actions that we will take according to how, you know, severe it is. And but for the most part, the kids have been good. If you address it with them and you set the standard, then the kids usually follow with that.
Right. Well, I certainly think it is a great idea. I commend you on that, Coach Bird.
Thank you.
Now,
thank
Coach, you played for Lansing Catholic back in 1989 and 91, and now find yourself leading the Comets these past few years. Just going back now, for all the listeners out there who don't know much about Coach Bird, how did you get involved with coaching, Matt?
Well, I got involved in coaching. My mother was married to a gentleman by the name of Mark Ditsworth, who was the coach at Lansing Eastern for a lot of years. And so he played a major part in my life from then till now. And I grew up in fourth and fifth grade watching film with him, you know, going through the age of beta to, you know, to the VCR to all of that stuff.
Right.
So you're really... I made it helped me understand how much of a sacrifice that needs to go into success, and that you also, you do take those kids on as sons, and it becomes a whole family experience. So it was something that just kind of eased into. Mm-hmm. Then I started coaching at Lansing Eastern in 94, I believe, was my first year coaching at Lansing Eastern, and helping Coach Ditsworth with that and building that program up through 95 and getting them, or 97 and getting them to the playoffs, mm-hmm. 98. And then Coach O'Keefe asked me to come out to Grand Ledge and be the offensive coordinator out in Grand Ledge. And so right. I jumped on that because I was had gone back to school to become a teacher. I had a degree in public administration. So I was more inclined to be a politician than I was a football coach, but it just kept bringing me back
right.
to my roots. And so it was kind of something that I guess I was born and bred for.
Yeah, I see that. I definitely see that. Now, when you first became the coach of Grand Ledge, those first 3-6 seasons, since those 3-6 seasons, you have really taken this program and made it something special, man. I mean, coaching-wise, looking at those first seasons when you did go 3-6, what did you start to do different?
Well, Coach O'Keefe has been a huge mentor to me, more like a second dad. Mm-hmm. I respect him so much and what he's given my family. And so I relied a lot on him, talked with him, helped me through things. But I'll be honest with you, those first 2 years, I focused a lot on the adult issues and dealing with adults, dealing with this. This is a kid-driven business. And so I went back to the relationship piece and building strong relationships with the kids in the program, talking with them, spending a lot more time actively with them throughout the off season and building that trust thing, because trust is a big thing with us. It's not in our nature to trust our fellow human being, and we got to pull all these kids together and trust the person next to them that they're going to come through and do what they're supposed to do. And so it was breaking down a lot of barriers, and the only way I could do that was just straight up communication with the kids.
That's such a great message. And you working with these kids, I mean, day in and day out over the years. Now, I got to ask you, because I asked, Coach Slammer this at Holt. I asked Terry Hesbrook this, and it's a question I want to pose to you as well, man. I mean, when you look at, your job and what you do, coaching and being a mentor to these kids, I mean, what's the most rewarding part for you with this job?
Well, it's the unexpected piece is I've got quite a few guys that coach for me now that played for me. And I didn't think I'd be in the business this long to start actually having coaches that would get married and
right.
have kids of their own. And it's just that's a byproduct you don't usually see. And so these kids are going on, and now they're grown men, and they're great dads. They're tremendous dads, and they're great husbands. They volunteer in their communities, whether it's in Grand Ledge or it's in Lansing or it's over in Grand Rapids or whatever. That is a product that is absolutely immeasurable, because so much of the social aspect in education is gone. We're focusing on, the reading, math, and all of that, which is tremendously important, but how do you be a man? How do you respect your fellow human being, even to the point of how you treat your spouse, to
right.
All of that? And so we really try to take time to talk about respect and trust and all of that. And then, when you get a kid that is knows he's not athletically going to get to that spot that he's going to get a whole lot of playing time, but it clicks for him to get what you're teaching him, and then he also understands that he's a major contributor to the team, even though he may not be out there all the time on Friday nights. He knows from Sunday through Thursday, he's done everything to put those guys in the right spot, and he feels good about being a part of the program.
Such a great message. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, we have the privilege of having Matt Bird. He is the Grand Ledge Comets football coach. Season just around the corner. Tomorrow night it kicks off. So looking at your team right now so far, Matt, and what you've seen in preseason workouts to leading up to game time tomorrow, how do you like your team, and what are you excited about from them?
I'm excited about the senior leadership. We've got two kids that are coming back that give us a tremendous amount of leadership and experience, and Kiefer Johnson as a defensive back, and he'll help us out offensively, and Joe Reverman, who's our running back from last year. And both those kids are 4.0 students that are being looked at by Ivy League institutions. And so when you get all those combinations into one, sometimes you're lucky enough to have one kid like that, but to have two, you really kind of build things around them. And I'm excited about that. I'm excited about these young kids that have been willing to be coached. You know, the great thing is they'll listen to everything you say. The bad thing is they listen to everything you say.
Right.
Yeah, really, at times I've had to talk with my staff about hearing it back a little bit. Maybe we're telling them too much, and we got to let them kind of figure out on their own. So
they become like robots in a way, huh?
Exactly. So, but the kids have been great. They've showed up. They haven't been complaining about the heat. They never tell you that they're tired. They never tell you that they're sore. The locker room, even to the point you can measure a lot by them, by even how clean it is when they leave. There's a lot of respect for that around
really?
Them.
Really?
So, wow. Yeah. You know, those are all little things that over coaching, you know, coaching over a few years, you start to see those things, and you start, if a kid's picking up after himself, then you know not only does he respect the support group around them within the building and the adults within the building, but they're also respecting their teammate next to them. So it's just those little things that you pick up over time, and the kids have been great about handling it.
That is great. They're even neat. Dig that. Man, so Matt, now you briefly brought up the, you know, a few of your kids, you know, you have Ivy League colleges looking at them right now. I want to briefly talk about the recruiting process when it comes to high school football. Now, there's so much that goes into it, and in many cases, you know, some of these high school kids are treated like celebs before they even hit a college football field. I mean, it's crazy. Now, the competition to grab top recruits is so stiff out there. I want to just briefly get an opinion from, you know, a high school football coach like yourself. What is your opinion of it, and does it take the fun out of the game to an extent?
Oh, it does. It does. And one thing that, you know, and taking the fun out of it, that's a great point. It definitely introduces the kids to the business side of it that is completely different. The other thing is you're having 18-year-old kids that, you know, coaches' families and livelihood at that next level depend on those kids' success.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about it at that point, you know, Coach D'Antonio, Coach Hoke, those guys are putting their families in the hands of 18 to 22-year-old, you know, young men. And not all the time are they getting young men. They're getting kids with great athletic ability. And so the support network has to be so strong. And now they're pushing more and more and more of this recruiting on.
Right.
That kids are being, you know, talked to as freshmen, even though they can't legally be talked to, they're still being talked to. And you've got that aspect. And there's so much development that goes on. I think a great example is the success like Pat Fitzgerald is having at Northwestern these past few years, because he's taking kids that are developing later and the bigger schools are missing on them. And they're not getting that star treatment all the way through. You're getting more of a blue-collar athlete that, hey, I've had to fight tooth and nail for everything that I've gotten. And I think you're going to see more and more of a transition there with that. And I think that big time with the Big Ten, when you get the disparity on stuff, and then you look at the SEC, the money's a completely different beast. So, you know, Coach Saban's using, you know, three planes to be able to go visit kids from all over the country, but yet be back in his house that night. You
know? Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And so those are different things that, you know, it's tough for us as coaches to control it. It's also bringing more and more people that want to feed off these young men, thinking that they're going to bring something to the table, you know, whatever it is. But, you know, it's just harder and harder to, you know, control. And right. I really do feel bad for these college coaches, because the pressure's on them to find those kids at 14. And they'll talk to you behind closed doors and tell you, how do we know at 14? But we have to, because
right.
Michigan's talking to them, so we got to talk to them. So I feel for the kids, I feel for the families, and I feel for these coaches.
That very, very well put, Matt. Now, for you and your coaching staff, I mean, how do you kind of sort of protect these kids in a way?
Well, we will sit down with the kids that are getting the most interest, or we, you know, we've been doing this long enough and have worked different camps around the country, that I will know, and having friends in college athletics, you'll know people that are going to get looks because of certain body types, and they'll hit targets. And so we'll sit down with these families and we'll tell them, number one, I talk to the kid about different things that they should look for at the schools. You know, is it a coach where you walk in and it's more about the championships, or when you go into their office, are there more pictures about their family up?
Ah, nice,
you know,
right.
If they're more about the championships, then there's chances on, you know, there's going to be a whole different thing there. But if it's family and kids, you're looking at a father figure there that's cared about your education. You know, another aspect that we'll take a look at is shake their hand, sit up straight, all that stuff. But just all in that approach, how much time do they spend with the moms? How much time do they spend with the dads? All of those different pieces. And then if I can do it, I try to get to as many of those visits myself so I can kind of be a third party,
right,
separated from it, and kind of debrief on the way home with
right.
them about what went on.
So you give them advice when you do go on these visits about what you think, and I know they look at you like a father figure, you know, playing on your team and you mentoring them. Like, they probably look for you for guidance in that area as well.
They do, and I try to allow them to come to me on anything. I was very fortunate as a young coach to have the chance to talk with Bo Schembechler, and one of the pieces of advice that he gave me was, you stop everything when somebody comes to your door that's a player, because they have the courage right now to talk to you about something. If you tell them to come back 10 minutes later, they could lose that courage. So you stop what you're doing, focus on your athlete, and then you can go back to the adult stuff that you need to do. So in establishing that, you try to have that open line of communication where the kids are comfortable enough to talk to you about anything.
It's a must. It is a must. Coach Matt Bird. Now, Matt, before I let you leave, I got it. Just for all of those listening out there, tell the people about your first game tomorrow, East Kentwood, right home.
Yes, East Kentwood at home, 7 o'clock kickoff. Kentwood has got a new coach. He's from the Indianapolis area. He was at a Catholic school down there.
Mm-hmm.
He was very successful. Is his first name, and he's just he's a really good guy to work with. But you know, Kentwood, the track state champs. There's a lot of speed there. They're in that OK Red Conference where they're going up against, where there's no off dates. They're going up against the big dogs all the time.
Right,
and
right.
So there's a certain style. And also the West Side State has a certain priority when you look at the facilities. You know, most of these places are just, you know, Taj Mahal when it comes to their facilities. So they definitely put a high priority on it. And, you know, they're going to have a ton of athletes that can run fast. They've got two tackles. One's a junior that's a D1 recruit, and the other one is committed to Western Michigan at this point. And, you know, they're 6'7", 6'5", over 300 pounds. So there's definitely a size factor to them. And they got a good young quarterback that's back from last season. They're going to be definitely a formidable test. And then if you throw the weather in that, with the heat index being pushed close to, you know, 94, 95 degrees,
yeah,
we're going to have our work cut out for us.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, current sports will definitely be there, Matt. And speaking of speed, I think you guys have, what, 3 track stars on your team, I think, this year?
We've been fortunate, yes.
We've got
Nathan Maggie, who's a part of that. Stefan Jones is another one that's a part of that. And then Brian Bell is another kid that did very, very, very well in track this year. So, we have some quickness to our side. There's no doubt about it that we haven't had in the past.
Well, with all that speed, I'm certainly I'm gonna have to be on my top skill as far as my camera game goes, man. Oh my goodness, I tell you that. All right, well, there you have it. Grand Ledge Comet football coach Matt Bird. Hey, Matt, take care. We'll see you tomorrow.
All right, Al. Thanks so much, and let's do this again.
No problem. All right, well, when we return to current sports, we will dive into our current sports section of the show, and we'll remind you that we'll be taking your calls right after the break. Don't hesitate. Pick up that phone, dial 517-355-9527. Let us hear your thoughts on any of today's topics. We'll also chat with WLNS Sports Director Fred Heumann after the break. You don't want to miss that. Stay tuned. More current sports is coming right back.
Next time on Here and Now, the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington.
And Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s history-making I Have a Dream speech.
I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. Join us for live coverage of all the day's proceedings.
Next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
That's Here and Now, coming up at 2 p.m.
7 days a week, Current State brings you the issues, personalities, and events making the heart of Mid-Michigan beat.
To be able to start a farmer's market takes time and energy, people power, and planning.
We change the notes, or we change the phrasing, or we change something for what might happen, and you can't really predict, and that's the beauty of jazz.
We are reinventing city government as we go along. It's like redesigning the airplane while in flight.
Current State, weekdays at 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. on 90.5 WKAR.
Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Well, before we dive into our current sports section of the show, we invite a very, very special guest and friend of the show, if you will. He is certainly probably my biggest mentor when it comes to this whole broadcast, sports broadcasting thing. Took me in, a young pup right out of college, hired me at WLNS Channel 6 for 7 months, where I learned so much under him, was an intern for over a year. We welcome the one, the only sports director at WLNS TV 6, Fred Heumann. How you doing, Uncle Freddy?
No fat jokes. Is that biggest mentor or largest mentor? How do you mean that?
No, I don't know. That was not a fat joke, Fred. Take it as you will, brother, all right?
Prime time, Al. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good, man. This is your first time on the show, Fred.
Yeah,
you know,
I was going to say, how long you been on the air?
Yeah, I was just about to see that. That hurts my feelings, man. I got this job.
How long have you been doing this show?
I've been doing this show for about 3 months now, Fred.
How many times you had Uncle Fred on?
This is the first time, Freddy.
Well, that you ought to be ashamed.
I'm a little bit ashamed of that. I definitely am. But you're on now, Fred. You are on now, and
Well, my boy. I'm proud of you.
Thank you so much. I wouldn't be here without you, man. All right. I would not be here without you.
Well, let's get over the gushing and get to the point. What's going on today?
All right. So first of all, before I dig into your special, you guys have a special over there at Channel 6 that you do. It's an annual thing. You guys kick off, countdown to kickoff, I believe, right?
Countdown to kickoff, 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock tonight, live. You were a part of this last year before you bolted us for the big bucks and the big time of radio and television there at WKAR, so we could use you. But you're not here, so we'll figure out a way to fill it.
Right.
7 to 8 is countdown to kickoff. I think in my 10, 11 years here, I've done over 50 of these hour-long specials. That's a lot of programming and a lot of late night. But tonight's another one. We do one every year before the start of the football season. And as you know, I'm not a big X's and O's guy, Al. I don't break it down on, you know, who's playing defensive line and how they're going to stop Western Michigan.
Yeah.
So we truly are blessed, to use your terminology, that Michigan State, and I mean this in all sincerity, allows us the access to Mark D'Antonio and some of his players for some one-on-one interviews that allow us to tell the stories of the personalities. Audrey Dahlgren, who was your replacement,
yeah.
And by the way, we've really upgraded that position. she has a really nice feature tonight on Makaja Reynolds, who you know from Lansing Sexton,
yeah.
And a senior now, a fifth-year, probably a sixth-year senior at Michigan State. He's switched positions 4 or 5 times. He's been offense, defense. He was in a situation this summer where he helped a young man who was a victim of a gunshot wound, so she's going to cover all of that, and he's a dynamic young man, and she'll be doing that. Kevin Gale will have a couple of pieces, including on the quarterback scenario, and a chat with Andrew Maxwell. We shot our Mark D'Antonio interview the other day, and when he does these sit-downs, he's a different guy than you see at the press conferences every week. When he's a little stoic, can be a little dry, he's much more revealing in this environment. And I think people will enjoy that, too, not because I did it, but because D'Antonio really shows his personality in these. So it's not an X's and O's show. It's a preview for the college football season, mostly Michigan State.
Yeah.
We do have a segment on Michigan because we know there's a lot of I know Spartan fans don't want to hear it, but there are Michigan fans here in this market.
Right.
So we address Michigan, too. So that's tonight, 7 to 8 on Channel 6. Thanks for the plug.
Well, I will certainly be tuning in, Fred. So we see a more colorful, if you will, Mark D'Antonio tonight, huh?
Yeah, I think so. And really, on all of these shows, when he gets in an environment where he's one-on-one, I don't think he likes the podium and the press conference and the firing and the questions and the injury question and the two deep. Not that those aren't legitimate questions, but I think when you get him in this environment, not just with me, but with anyone, he loosens up a little and you talk more about than just football. And he talks about in one segment tonight about the highs and lows of the profession and how he needs to learn to balance. And his wife tells him, you know, enjoy the highs as much as the lows tend to destroy you. So that's a part of this conversation tonight, and destroy is a little strong word. But like all coaches, Izzo's the same way. The losses are harder on them than the victories are joyous. Man, Al, if I were a coach, I'd be like doing the dance in the end zone every time I won a game. I'd enjoy it, man. I don't know why
right.
coaches always got to say they all count one. I'd be jumping around in the streets.
I'm the same way, Fred. You got to show some emotion, man. Just loosen up a little bit. I feel you on that. So that's tonight, 7 to 8, right?
7 to 8. Countdown to kickoff. WLNS Channel 6. If you can't be there, set your DVR or go online tomorrow because we're always on and always free. Remember that, Al? WLNS.com.
That saying haunts me. I wake up sometimes in a sweat saying that sometimes. I tell you, Fred. Now, before I let you go, you were at the press conference yesterday. D'Antonio, he announced who the starting quarterback would be. Andrew Maxwell, no surprise to many. What were your thoughts? Were you surprised at all? And do you think Andrew is going to stay the starting QB?
Well, that's the bigger question. I think some of his comments were revealing. I thought 2 weeks ago for about 10 minutes, I got sucked in and thought maybe he'll throw caution to the wind and start the freshman. Mm. And I don't think that whole thing was a bluff. But as he said in this interview, you can't substitute for 13 games of experience, and doing it on the practice field compared to doing it in front of 78,000 in a national television audience is a different environment. And, I think all along, Maxwell, it was his job to lose, and he didn't lose it. But and when you heard him say yesterday so poignantly, you have the keys to the car, make sure you bring it back filled up.
right.
That's the message, like, all right, this is your job. But last year, I think he had a long leash, and it was going to be his job. This year, they got three guys waiting in the wings, and if Andrew can't cut the mustard, we may see a replacement or multiple quarterbacks. So
right.
I think that's the difference this year. So that'll be interesting how this plays out. But I kind of thought all along, other than for about 10 minutes a couple of weeks ago, I thought Maxwell was going to be the guy.
Yeah, I tell you what, and to see the numbers, and to hear the numbers that Damian Terry put up, I mean, 240 yards, 40 on the ground. I mean, those numbers they definitely pop out at you, but I didn't think he would.
But Al, that's one Saturday scrimmage in an empty stadium.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
You don't give a kid out of high school a starting job based on one Saturday scrimmage in an empty stadium. You just don't do it, and I ended up kicking myself for even getting sucked into thinking that might happen.
Right.
But we're not at practices every day. Nobody is. The media doesn't see practice. We don't even see the scrimmages. We aren't allowed to.
True.
So we don't have anything other than what the coaches tell us, but there was no way that on one Saturday scrimmage in an empty stadium that they were going to start a freshman quarterback. It's just not going to happen here.
Yeah, that's so true. All right, let's shift gears real quick, Fred. Now, I know you are a baseball freak. You watch batting practice over Game 7 of the NBA Finals, something you and I used to talk about all the time.
What's my favorite sport, Al? What's my favorite sport?
Your favorite sport's baseball, man.
What's my second favorite sport?
Baseball.
Yeah, and my third?
Baseball. That's
okay. Yeah, that tells you where I am.
If ladies and gentlemen, if you go into Fred's basement, I mean, you got three TVs down there, all of them, just about all of them on MLB Network. I'm assuming right now, all of them. It's crazy.
Well, I have one on MLB and one on whatever two games because I got the package and you can get every major league game. So I love my baseball. Like you like hoops, I love my baseball.
We definitely know that. So I want to talk Tigers real quick right now, Fred. Now the Tigers, they lose yesterday to the Oakland A's. A shortened game, though. Went 6 because of the rain. But I want to ask you about Miggy. Now, Miguel Cabrera, he is unbelievable, Fred. I mean, I believe he's 3 home runs still for this whole Triple Crown, trying to get this back-to-back Triple Crown thing. I believe he's 3 home runs in back of Chris Davis right now. Fred, I mean, you've watched a lot of baseball over the years. I want to ask you this. Where does Miggy rank as far as the all-time hitters on your list?
Well, he's as good as I've seen. I'm ready to give it a little more time, but you know, he's been here in Detroit 4 or 5 years, and he's had 10 straight years of 100 RBIs. I'll take it beyond baseball, Al. You and I have had conversations over at the office before you left us and ditched us. We've had conversations about athletes that we stopped what we were doing to watch.
Yeah.
I think we both agreed Michael Jordan was one of them.
Oh, without a doubt.
We both agreed Barry Sanders was another one.
Yeah.
Back in the day, Joe Montana was another one, the way he would carve defenses apart. Mm-hmm. Larry Bird was one for me in your sport. I'm sure I'm missing some. Gordie Howe was one for me in my youth.
Right.
Bobby Orr in my youth in hockey.
Great.
Miguel Cabrera is one of those. You stop what you're doing, You don't get up and make a peanut butter sandwich or go to the bathroom when he hits. You stop and watch Mickey hit. And I think that's certainly statewide, and that's going national now. The guy's incredible. You stop what you're doing to watch this guy hit. It's unbelievable.
He is unbelievable right now. And looking at yesterday, I mean, one of the, you know, if you talk about Justin Verlander, I mean, they're, before this season is really weird for JV because we're used to seeing the dominant JV of the past. And this year's been really been an up and down roller coaster sort of a year for him. Do you think he's hit his peak, Fred?
I don't know. It's a good question. I think he'll figure it out. I think he had a revealing statement after the game last night when people asked him about his struggles. Reporters did, and he said, "Hey guys, I'm struggling, but my deadline is not August 28th. My deadline is October."
Right.
So his point is, he's got time to figure this out. I don't know what it is. It shouldn't shock any of us. To duplicate what he's done the last couple of years was unrealistic.
Yeah.
Unless maybe you're Miggy, but even for a pitcher. But, I mean, over time we've seen pitchers dominant, and then they fall off the face of the earth for a year or two, and then maybe they come back, maybe they don't. But pitchers don't just – they just don't pitch like Verlander did for 2 years every year of their career. There just aren't many guys that have done that. So
right.
I'm a little more surprised after the fall off in May and June a little bit that he hasn't picked it up yet. And I don't know what the problem is. I don't know if it's velocity, if it's location.
Mm.
I don't know if he's getting cocky. I don't know the guy very well.
Yeah.
But, I, you know, something's not right. He's not making the pitches that he used to, and they're tagging him a little. So whether he can figure it out or not by the end of the year remains to be seen. But I like what he said. My deadline isn't August. It's October.
I love that quote, too. I love that quote. When it matters, you know, we'll see what happens. So, well, Fred, we got to let you go, man. But again, remind folks how they can catch your special tonight.
7 o'clock to 8 o'clock, Channel 6, or on the internet tomorrow, WLNS.com. Countdown to kickoff, 1 hour long.
There we go. Hey, always a pleasure, Uncle Freddie. I'll be in touch, man.
Yeah, I'm sure you will in about 4 more months. Thanks,
Al. Not sure. All right, Fred. All right. Well, we're going to take a break really quick. And when we come back, we're going to dive into our current sports section of the show. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch the dial. We certainly have a lot more to talk about. Stick around. More current sports is next.
On the next Fresh Air, our late night week continues with Jimmy Kimmel. He loved late night TV so much as a kid that he founded a David Letterman Club. But before Kimmel made it to late night, he worked in radio.
So Jimmy Kimmel started in public radio.
That's right. And graduated to the public toilet.
Join us for the next Fresh Air.
That's Fresh Air coming up at 3 o'clock.
You count on All Things Considered for many reasons. The biggest stories of the day, from around the world to your own backyard. The thoughtful commentaries, the insightful features, or all of the above. All Things Considered has been your trusted source for news every afternoon. I'm Brad Walker, your host for All Things Considered, and glad to be a part of this show. I'll see you at 4 this afternoon.
Good people, welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. It's now time for Current Sports, giving you all the latest sporting news concerning the good people of Mid-Michigan. We'll remind you all that we'll be taking your calls right now, 517-355-9527. We'll talk about anything that's on your mind. To start the show, we had the Grand Ledge Comets football coach, Matt Bird, as they kick off their season tomorrow against East Kentwood. And everyone kicks off their football season tomorrow in the state of Michigan. Certainly an exciting time. Current Sports will be out there giving you guys coverage. And, man, MSU football kicks off on Friday against Western. A lot going on. The pigskin is in the air, folks. I'm certainly excited about it. All right, well, right now, production assistants Matt Lutke and Alex Shark join me for this section of the show. Let's dig right into it, guys. The Tigers and A's. Now, it was a rainy day for Justin Verlander and the Detroit Tigers after throwing 44 pitches and allowing two runs in the first inning. The Tigers right-hander, suffered his 10th loss of the season in a rain-shortened game against the Oakland A's. Now, the 44 pitches are the most Verlander has ever thrown in a single inning. The latest lackluster effort in what has been really an up-and-down roller coaster season for the Ace. Guys, I want to ask you guys, as I talked to Fred Heumann just a minute ago, do you think Justin Verlander has hit his peak?
It's a tough one. I think he's too talented to be on a downward slope. I think he's got he'll have a bounce back year sooner or later. I mean, he's still getting over Kate Upton.
That's what it is. You're right. You're right. That's probably what it is, huh?
I don't know. I'm leaning towards that. It's got to be somewhat of a contributing factor.
What about you, Alex? You think he's hit his peak?
Yeah, well, here's what I look at. After throwing the 44 pitches, in that one inning, he had a two-run first inning. The thing I look at, it's not like he's giving up 6 to 10 runs a game. Maybe once in a while. For me, if he's giving up tons and tons of runs, then I would say, okay, maybe we have a problem. But I think there's something called the inside edge, as you can refer to many baseball video games, that has something to do with the scouting reports on pitchers. You get to see him now for the last 3 years. You pick up a lot of his tendencies. So I don't think that Verlander's on the downfall. I just think teams are just scouting him more efficiently.
They figured him out, you think?
He's human.
He is human. I mean, like you said.
No pun on Fred there.
if you look at the seasons that he's – I mean, last season, the season before that, I mean, just incredible, unbelievable stuff. It's hard to duplicate that, especially as a pitcher. I mean, you talk about a pitcher. I mean, a lot of throws on that arm starts to wear and tear at some point. And, Justin, I think the scouting reports are getting better on him, and people are starting to figure him out a little bit more, and he has to adjust to that. I think he's going through an adjustment year, and I think he'll eventually figure it out. Will he duplicate those seasons that he had in the past, though, and be that good? I don't think so.
But
I think he's hit his peak in that area.
That's a tall task.
You think he hit his peak?
To try to duplicate what he's done in the past, to have those type of numbers last season, the season before that, I think he'll be a good pitcher. I don't think he'll be great as we saw him in the past. As great as we saw him in the past.
Interesting.
Are you okay with that? Because if he does kind of steadily decline, or maybe not decline from this point now, but not get back to those numbers, are you okay with that? Because that would most likely point to the fact that he does not use PEDs.
Yeah.
is that your silver lining that you're going to try and find?
That's how we measure it right there. I'll be fine with that. If the man's not juicing, hey, that's fine. But
at least we got somebody who we know for sure.
Yeah. It's so terrible. You gotta look for somebody to fail and be like, okay, he's not. Okay, that affirms it. You know what I mean?
And see, from a hitter standpoint, Brennan Bosch, right? Started off great. Same with Chris Shelton.
Yeah.
Team started to pitch away. Chris Shelton's team started to throw to his cold spots. Now let's look at it from Prince Fielder's standpoint. He was hitting probably a lot better with Milwaukee average-wise. Does that have anything to do with scouting? Maybe. Now from a pitching standpoint, let's look at Valverde. You can compare the fact that, yeah, he had a great year, lost in the World Series, went on a downfall since then. Was that team's picking up on his split finger that was so incredibly good?
Yeah, I mean, you could argue that too. You never know.
I feel like those are apples and oranges, though, because JV's been dominant for years, and Valverde had a great season.
Yeah, he had a great
season.
No,
Valverde
season.
Was pretty good for 2-3 years, even before
the
Tigers.
But he was never the pitcher that Justin Verlander was, in any measure.
He wasn't AL MVP.
Exactly.
Not at all.
No.
It's a different ball game when you talk about, especially with closers, you know what I mean? But I don't know.
So maybe we refrain it to, maybe Justin Verlander hasn't lost it, maybe he's just not the reigning AL MVP anymore.
I think JV will be back to some form of, I don't know if I want to call it dominance, but some form of consistent good play. But will it be duplicated? You know, with those great seasons that he had, you know, when he did win the Cy Young and all that, can he duplicate those numbers? I don't know. I don't think he's getting another Cy Young. I'm going to say it right here. All right. Well, yesterday, again, steady rain the entire game, an 80-minute rain delay. 80-minute rain delay. Umpires decided to call the game after the sixth inning, giving the A's the 6-3 victory. That's now the second win in a row from the A's. And, guys, I tell you, that rain yesterday was crazy. Me driving in that, my car almost got – I was telling Alex, I almost was floating in the middle of the night. I went to go see Two Guns, and the rain was crazy after the movie. I mean – thank goodness I'm here, though. All right?
Right.
All right, Titus Young. Titus Young is at it again, folks. After missing a fourth court hearing in California on charges of burglary and attempted burglary. The troubled former Lion wide receiver was issued an arrest warrant by Orange County Superior Court judge. In addition to the $100,000 bench warrant, the judge also revoked Young's bail and accepted a document from the defense under seal. Now, according to Young's attorney, the 24-year-old is unlikely to be arrested as the court knows his location. Now, Young previously pleaded not guilty to the charges, which came at the end of really a bizarre 5-day stretch of erratic behavior that included breaking into a tow yard to steal back his Mustang, suspicion of DUI, and a restraining order from his ex-girlfriend. Now, Young has failed to appear at several court hearings, most recently August 6th, when the judge ordered he appear on Tuesday. So, Titus, man, that story. All right, sticking with a Lion, now former Lion, if you will. Apparently, almost 5 million hits on YouTube doesn't guarantee you a roster spot in the NFL. Now, the Detroit Lions cut Harvard Kickalicious Ruglin yesterday, ending hopes that the YouTube sensation will replace the recently retired Jason Hansen. Matt, I know you took this one personally, man. You love Kickalicious, man. Now he's gone.
Just give me a minute. I got to wipe away the tears.
Go ahead. We'll give you a second.
This is really sad.
It's sad stuff. I liked him, too, man. I thought he was going to make the cut. I mean, he performed great.
Yeah, it's not like he did anything.
He didn't do anything wrong.
He didn't. He really didn't.
He didn't miss a field goal in the preseason. I mean, the training camp reports were through the roof, but you know it's still not enough. Do you think he'll get a job somewhere else?
I don't know.
I think so.
If you know, they said that the kickoffs were the big thing that he struggled with.
Yeah, the kickoffs. Yeah.
But if he can get that down, why not? I mean, like we discussed before, jersey sales alone. That guy's going to sell jerseys. Not many kickers are going to sell jerseys. He's one of the few.
And he's definitely one. That YouTube video is something else, I tell you. Now, Ruglin, he went 3-for-3 on field goals in the preseason. He was unable to overtake veteran David Akers for the starting job, which, you know, David Akers, he's got years in this business. Ruglin tweeted his thanks, though, to the organization, saying it was, quote, a great experience. Now, Akers, who actually missed a 31-yard attempt in the Lions preseason game against New England, came to Detroit after a down year last season in San Fran. Now, Ruglin, who signing with the Lions, made national headlines, definitely proved his skills weren't the result of editing tricks. And his performance in games definitely put him on everyone's radar. So we'll see what happens, man. We'll see what happens. All right, Jabril Peppers. Now, this is something that you, Alex, you've been talking about Jabril Peppers for a long, long time now. And to see this video, I see why. Jabril Peppers, the number 2 ranked player in Rivals Top 100 for the 2014 recruiting class. He gave everyone a glimpse of what he can do with the ball in his hands during a prep scrimmage on Tuesday. Now, lining up at running back, Peppers, who is 6'1", 210, and a track sprint champion, he broke through 9 tackles in a 30-yard touchdown run. When I read it, I'm like, okay, that's impressive. But it wasn't until I clicked on the video and watched it where I was like, okay, that's really, really impressive. If you haven't seen it, he gets the ball. I mean, guys, I mean, he looks like flashes of Barry Sanders on that run. Now, again, this is only one play. It's in high school, but it was definitely impressive. Alex, you can talk on it. That's your man. Jabril is your man, right?
Yeah, to paint a picture, you imagine you're on the left sideline. He's running towards, actually, yeah, if you're on the left sideline, he runs straight down the middle, and as soon as he gets past that front 7, the linebackers and the defensive linemen, he has 2. So the cornerback and the free safety on the left side.
Wow, you're very detailed. This is
we gotta paint the picture. We
got to
paint the picture.
Yeah.
The free safety in the corner on the left side tried to tackle Peppers, but he jukes left. When he jukes left, the far wide linebacker
comes up. Gosh, Alex, you're confusing everyone out there.
I hope not. Comes up. He tries to tackle him. Jabril spins.
Okay.
3 other corners try to tackle him. He spins again. He jukes again, goes down the field. And while he's going down the field for a breakaway, he has 2 guys holding onto him, and he's stiff-arming all the way to a touchdown.
That's very vivid. That was a very vivid account from Alex Shark right there.
And he casually walks in. Casually walks in.
When I saw it, you got to see it. You got to just YouTube Jabril Peppers' 9 tackle run, and it's unbelievable. The kid definitely has he's got some skill. I will say that.
And it was on the actual SportsCenter top 10 as well.
It did make the SportsCenter. That's where I saw it on. YouTube put it on the SportsCenter top 10. They used that clip. But unbelievable, man. He's pretty. That was impressive. But it's still a high school football game.
Aaron and I were unimpressed this morning.
You guys were unimpressed?
Watched it.
What? Really?
Yeah.
It takes a lot to impress. You got 9 tackles?
Oh, my gosh.
You guys were unimpressed.
That's a generous 9. I don't know if I would call some of those tackle attempts. Those kids were flailing everywhere. Exactly.
But it's high school.
So it's not like he was...
I was impressed.
You know, making guys just fall over or something. They were just... He would get thrown around in one direction, and then he would escape the other guys and just keep running. Like, great, keep your balance.
To break
Love
9
it.
Tackles, though, Matt.
Between two spins.
Spins were helped by the defenders. It was like Mario throwing Bowser in N64. Like, he just got twirled around, kept his feet, more power to him. Great run. I don't know if it's the run of the year, like they were saying on Yahoo Sports.
I think it is the run of the year. It's sick.
Well, at this point, yeah, because he's got, I don't know, no competition, but... Give it a month or so.
It's Jersey. Don Bosco, Prep, Paramus. There's a lot of competition in New Jersey.
It's August.
We're going to post this on our Facebook page. People comment on how impressed you were. All right, Johnny Manziel. Texas A&M released a statement Monday night in front of athletic director Eric Hyman, about Johnny Manziel and his football team's preparation for its season opener Saturday. Now, Hyman said, "The focus of our coaches and student athletes is solely on preparing for Rice this Saturday. And in the best interest of Texas A&M and the 100-plus student-athletes on the team, I have instructed Coach Sumlin, his staff, and our student-athletes to refrain from commenting on or answering questions regarding the status of starting quarterback Johnny Manziel. Now, although practices are closed, Texas A&M has prepared as though he would start in the season opener against Saturday against Rice. Manziel has not spoken to the media. His family also has declined interviews from a news organization. And, you know, something very interesting, guys, that I didn't know until I woke up and watched Mike and Mike this morning, that if he does start and plays whatever how many games, and it comes out later on during the season that he did get paid for these autographs, they have to forfeit those two games, whatever games he's playing in.
Right.
I had no idea. So that really, when you look at the situation, to put him in a game, Sumlin has a big decision to make, I tell you that.
Absolutely.
Huge decision to make. I don't know if I would play him. Just from my standpoint, I think the guy's guilty.
Jim Tressel would play him.
Yeah.
And then he'd get caught later,
and they'd have
to forfeit the Sugar Bowl. But
right. Winning is what matters, baby.
Exactly.
So I don't know, man. That's a really touchy one. All right, NFLPA grievance for Hernandez. The NFL Players Association has filed a grievance to help former New England Patriots star tight end Aaron Hernandez collect an $82,000 workout bonus. Now, Hernandez's contract provided him to receive that amount if he participated in 90% of the team's voluntary offseason workouts. So the union released a statement today saying, quote, "On behalf of all players, it is our responsibility to protect the rights in the collective bargaining agreement. We are not tone deaf to what the allegations are in this case, but for the benefit of all players, there are important precedents that we must protect." So the Patriots cut Hernandez after he was arrested, of course, on June 6th, and before he was charged with murder later that day of Odin Lloyd. The union believes Hernandez earned the bonus before his arrest. And last year, Hernandez, he signed a 5-year, $40 million contract extension through the 2018 season. The contract includes an $82,000 bonus if Hernandez successfully completes at least 90% of those offseason workouts, so which the union believes he did. So, all right, and a really, really cool story yesterday. If you didn't see this, Victoria Duval, she's 17. 17-year-old Victoria Duval, she dropped the first set to Australian Samantha Stosur, but the young American battled back to take the final two on Tuesday, pulling the biggest upset of the U.S. Open so far. Now, Duval overcame 35 unforced errors for her first ever Grand Slam victory. It read 5-7, 6-4, and 6-4. It was such a big moment because, I mean, she's 17, comes out of nowhere, knocks off Samantha. Rapper Lil Wayne even had to send out a tweet for her, even though she doesn't have a Twitter. Rapper Lil Wayne and New York Knicks forward Amari Stoudemire tweeted congratulations to Duval after her first victory in a major. The funny thing is, she doesn't even have Twitter, as I just said, and asked why she never joined the popular networking service. She said, "Because I'm not famous." Well, I think she's pretty famous now. Now, if you look at the backstory, I don't know, have you guys heard the backstory of Duval? It's really unbelievable and inspirational, to say the least. When she was 7, Duval, who was a Haitian-American who was born in Miami, she was held at gunpoint for hours by armed robbers while at an aunt's house in Port-au-Prince before her captors freed her and her family. Her parents, John Maurice and Nadine Duval decided to leave Haiti and move their family to Florida. Duval's father was in Port-au-Prince to attend his physician's practice in 2010 when a 7.0 magnitude earthquake ripped through Haiti. Her father was buried under the rubble of their home and wasn't found for 11 hours. He suffered broken legs, a broken arm, and 7 broken ribs, punctured his lung, yet managed to dig himself out. He was airlifted back to Florida, and despite developing paralysis in his arm, he recovered. So held at gunpoint as captors and, you know, the 7.0 magnitude earthquake, and now here she is playing in the U.S. Open and with the very first, probably the biggest upset of U.S. Open so far. That's remarkable. I don't know if you guys caught it, but she, and then if you listen to her talk afterwards, I mean, she sounds like a kid. I mean, she's, but her play was unbelievable, guys.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
And if you have 35 errors, it's not exactly her A game. So,
exactly.
I mean, yeah. Sky's the limit.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and the reports on her have been through the roof. Go ahead, Alex.
The question is, where does she rank now, nationally, internationally?
I don't know. It's a good question.
Azarenka and Serena, where is she?
Well, I mean, this is only one match, though, Alex, so I'm not going too crazy. Even
course,
though it was a huge, huge, huge win, it's only one match, you know. I got to see more consistent play out of her. But she to be 17 and to be able to knock off Samantha Stosur, that's very impressive, to say the least. So, and there's some reports...
She got Lil Wayne to watch tennis.
She got Lil Wayne to watch. I'm guaranteed Lil Wayne did not watch the match. He probably was sitting back watching ESPN on SportsCenter and said, oh, man, let me tweet her. So, but, yeah, it's really, really impressive and an inspirational story, to say the least. All right, guys. Well, high school football tomorrow. You guys ready, man? I'm ready. I've been waiting for football for so long. Again, Current Sports is teaming up with Current State this Friday on campus. You don't want to miss it. We will be broadcasting live there, bringing some pretty interesting and cool stories, and also our opinions on, you know, the whole Andrew Maxwell at starting QB, and, you know, we have some other segments for you, including that, you know, Fred Heumann mentioned Mekhijah Reynolds on his special tonight, that life that he saved, you know, just on Saginaw, a young man had been shot. Mekhijah Reynolds, who's a football player for the MSU football team, helped him out. You can catch that story. We actually, Current Sports actually sat down with him, and he gives an account of that story. So we have all of that on Friday, a few hours before kickoff. You do not want to miss it. I'm certainly excited for it. So, yeah. All right. Tune into that. Well, before we leave, special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. Alex Sharp, Matt Lucky, our production assistant, intern. Well, that's the old script. Old script.
Wow.
Oh, oops. Oh, Mike, shout out to you, man. Engineer Aaron Young, Peter Wharf, our station manager here at WKR. Thanks to Matt Bird and Fred Heumann for joining me today. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKR East Lansing and WKR FM HD3 East Lansing. Hey, take care. Have a great day and be easy, people.